Welcome to the Naracast Tech Briefing. I'm your host.
And I'm your co-host. Today, we're looking at a major upset in the AI benchmarking world as a new open-weight model takes the crown in cybersecurity testing.
We're also taking a fascinating and slightly terrifying look under the hood of an AI resume screener to see just how random automated hiring decisions can be.
Plus, we have stories on the hidden privacy costs of mandatory age verification laws and a bizarre DMCA takedown that successfully scrubbed an investigative report from Google Search.
Let's get right into it.
First up today, we have a significant development in the ongoing race between proprietary and open-weight AI models. The security firm SemGrep recently published some benchmark results that are turning a lot of heads in the industry.
They certainly are. SemGrep tested several models on their ability to detect a specific type of security flaw known as an IDOR vulnerability. And the winner wasn't one of the usual suspects from Silicon Valley. It was GLM 5.2, an open-weight model from the Beijing-based lab Z.AI, which was formerly known as Zipu AI.
Let's look at the actual numbers here, because the margin is what makes this a story. GLM 5.2 scored a 39% F1 score on the IDOR vulnerability detection benchmark. To put that in perspective, Anthropic's Claude Code, which is widely considered one of the best coding models available right now, only scored 32%.
A 7 percentage point lead in a specialized cybersecurity benchmark is massive. And what's really interesting is the methodology SemGrep used. They didn't build some incredibly complex, highly tuned environment specifically for GLM. They used a simple Pydantic AI harness with a standard prompt.
Right. There was no specialized endpoint discovery or guided navigation involved. They essentially gave the model the standard toolkit, and it outperformed the state-of-the-art proprietary competition. And it did so cheaply. SemGrep reported that the cost for GLM 5.2 to operate in this benchmark was approximately 17 cents per vulnerability found.
That 17-cent figure is going to be the main takeaway for a lot of enterprise security teams. If you are scanning a massive legacy code base with millions of lines of code, the API costs for frontier models like GPT or Claude can become prohibitive very quickly. An open-weight model that is both cheaper and more accurate is a compelling proposition.
But we have to talk about the model itself, because it is an absolute behemoth. GLM 5.2 is a 744 billion parameter mixture of experts model. It also boasts a 1 million token context window, which is crucial for this kind of security work, where you need to ingest entire repositories or long trace logs to understand the business logic.
And it was released under an MIT license, which is one of the most permissive open source licenses available. It basically means you can use it, modify it, and commercialize it with very few restrictions. But that permissive license creates a massive paradox when you look at the geopolitical context surrounding Z.AI.
Exactly. Z.AI has been on the U.S. Department of Commerce entity list since January 2025. That means U.S. companies are heavily restricted from exporting certain technologies to them. Furthermore, the company is currently under a formal house inquiry regarding the cybersecurity risks their models might pose.
So you have this fascinating tension. On one hand, you have a U.S. government that is actively trying to restrict the capabilities and influence of Chinese AI labs through export controls and entity lists. On the other hand, this lab just dropped a 744 billion parameter model under an MIT license that demonstrably beats top-tier U.S. models at finding security flaws.
It raises a critical question about the intelligence gap. For the last year, the prevailing narrative has been that while open-weight models are great for general tasks, you still need a proprietary frontier model for complex, high-stakes reasoning tasks like cybersecurity. Does the performance of GLM 5.2 suggest that gap is officially closing?
I think it suggests the gap is closing for narrow, well-defined tasks. IDOR vulnerabilities, insecure direct object references, are notoriously tricky because they aren't just syntax errors. They require the model to understand the business logic of the application. The fact that GLM 5.2 can parse that logic better than Claude Code is a milestone.
but it also puts corporate chief information security officers in a very difficult position. Let's say you run a major U.S. bank or infrastructure provider. You see these benchmarks and realize you could improve your vulnerability detection by 7% while cutting costs. Do you deploy a model built by a company on the Commerce Department's entity list?
Most compliance departments would probably have a heart attack at the mere suggestion. Even if you are self-hosting the model on your own bare metal servers, isolated from the internet, the optics and the potential regulatory blowback of using a model from a sanctioned entity are severe.
Critics argue that this is exactly why the open sourcing of these models is so disruptive. Once the weights are out there under an MIT license, the cat is out of the bag. You can't unpublish a 744 billion parameter model. It will be integrated into downstream tools, security scanners, and potentially even automated exploit generators.
And that's the dual-use nature of AI in cybersecurity. A model that is 39% effective at detecting IDOR vulnerabilities for a defender is identically effective at finding them for an attacker. The democratization of a tool this powerful, without the oversight or API gating that Anthropic or OpenAI provide, is a fundamental shift in the threat landscape.
It certainly seems like the industry is going to have to adapt to a multi-model reality, where the best tool for the job might not always come from a lab in San Francisco, and navigating the compliance of using those tools is going to be a full-time job. Our next story takes us from AI evaluating code to AI evaluating the people who write the code. HackerRank recently decided to open source its AI-powered hiring agent, effectively giving the public a look at how applicant tracking systems, or ATS, are scoring resumes.
The intent here was transparency. HackerRank wanted to help candidates understand why their resumes might be getting rejected by these automated systems. But the execution has sparked a massive debate, largely thanks to an experiment conducted by software engineer Dan Kinski.
Kinski decided to stress test the HackerRank hiring agent in the most straightforward way possible. He took his exact same resume and ran it through the system 100 times. If the system were deterministic, you would expect the exact same score 100 times.
Instead, his scores were all over the map. Across those 100 runs, the exact same resume scored anywhere from a low of 66 to a high of 99. A 66 is likely an automatic rejection at most competitive companies, while a 99 puts you at the top of the interview pile. And it was entirely random.
The root cause of this variance is the underlying technology. The HackerRank tool uses a large language model to parse and grade the resumes, specifically defaulting to the Gemma 3.4b model. Because LLMs are inherently stochastic, meaning they generate responses based on probability distributions rather than strict rules, they introduce a massive amount of variability.
It turns the job application process into a literal lottery. You aren't just hoping your skills match the job description. You're hoping the temperature setting on the LLM rolled the right way when it parsed your bullet points.
And the variance is only half the problem. Kinski also dug into the actual scoring rubric the agent uses, and it is highly controversial. The system grades out of 100 base points. It allocates 35 points to open source contributions, 30 points to personal projects, 25 points to actual work experience, and 10 points to technical skills. There are also up to 20 bonus points available.
Let's pause and look at that math. 65% of your base score is tied strictly to open source contributions and personal projects. Your actual professional work experience, what you do for 40 to 50 hours a week, is only worth a quarter of the total score. It's a rubric that heavily, almost exclusively, rewards a very specific type of developer culture. It assumes that a good engineer is someone who spends their evenings and weekends maintaining public GitHub repositories. If you are an experienced professional with a family, or someone who simply treats coding as a day job, you are severely penalized. Not to mention engineers who work in highly secure or proprietary environments. If you spent the last 5 years building core infrastructure at Apple, or doing classified work for the Department of Defense, you can't exactly post your code to a public GitHub repo. Under this rubric, a junior developer with a few weekend projects would likely outscore a senior engineer from a top-tier tech firm.
This leads to a much bigger, more systemic question.
HackerRank open sourced this tool, which allowed developers like Kinski to actually audit it and find these flaws. But what does this imply about the reliability of the proprietary closed source AI screening tools that major corporations are already using? That is the real chilling effect here. Companies like Workday, Taleo, and dozens of AI startups are selling automated screening tools to Fortune 500 HR departments right now. Those systems are black boxes. We have no idea if they are using stochastic LLMs that flip a coin on a candidate's future, or if their hidden rubrics contain similar biases against traditional work experience.
It highlights the growing tension between the desire for efficiency in high-volume recruitment and the fundamental fairness of the hiring process. When a company gets 5,000 applications for a single role, they want an AI to filter it down to 50. But if that filter is effectively a random number generator wrapped in a biased rubric, it defeats the purpose of merit-based hiring.
Ultimately, HackerRank deserves some credit for opening the hood and letting the community see how the engine works, even if the engine turns out to be deeply flawed. It provides concrete evidence for what many job seekers have suspected for the past year, that the AI gatekeepers are wildly inconsistent.
It will be interesting to see if this prompts any regulatory scrutiny. As AI hiring tools become more prevalent, the demand for deterministic, auditable scoring systems is only going to grow. All right, let's hit a few more stories real quick before we wrap up the show.
Sounds good. What's first on the roundup?
A new piece published on nonograph.ph is raising alarms about the global push for mandatory age verification online, arguing that it creates a permanent technical link between a user's physical identity and their digital speech. While these laws are almost universally pitched as necessary measures to protect children, privacy advocates warn that requiring biometric scans or government IDs essentially forces users to surrender their anonymity. Critics argue this is laying the foundational infrastructure for mass surveillance, turning the internet into a papers-please environment where every comment or post can be automatically traced back to a verified legal identity, which could be devastating for whistleblowers and political dissidents. In a disturbing example of copyright law being weaponized, Gurgly Oros, author of The Pragmatic Engineer, reports that Google has removed his 2022 investigative article about the collapse of the event startup Pollen from its search results.
The removal was triggered by a highly suspicious DMCA takedown notice filed by an entity claiming to reside on the uninhabited Bouvet Island. The claimant alleged Oros's article plagiarized a 1998 New Yorker piece, despite there being zero textual overlap.
Oros has filed a counter notice, but as of this week, the article remains delisted. It's a stark reminder of how automated DMCA systems at major platforms like Google can be easily manipulated by bad actors to suppress legitimate investigative journalism.
That is all the time we have for today's briefing.
Thanks for joining us. We will be back tomorrow to break down the latest news in the tech world.
Stay safe, and we'll see you then.